Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Stephen the War Man Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the War Man. You could find me on Facebook, Stevenwright. I'm a big, muscular black dude. I'm staring at a Fairtex gym. You could find me on Twitter, at Stephen the War Man, one word. And then you are listening to my podcast in one of two ways. The first way is the Podbean, lordgaul.podbean.com. That was my username back in my Cockatoogie and K1 USA, and that was my forum name back when I first fell in love with the sport. And the iTunes way of finding the show is at lordgaul, one word. Pop that in or put in War Man's Kickfighting Show, and the podcast show pops right up. I'm joined with everyone's favorite gambler, the Stream Master's in the house. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm Ryan Scalia, part of LiverKick.com. You can find me on Twitter, RianSCALIA. As usual, like LiverKick on Facebook. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably already know about LiverKick.com, but just in case you don't, head to LiverKick.com, and that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, a bunch of stuff went down this weekend. We are not going to talk about that stuff on this show. Of course, we've got the big news, of course, with Glory announcing its tournament field in terms of how the matchups were made. Kai Hallenbach's, you know, shocking the world, picking Petrosian. The K1 elimination results, all fun and good. We'll probably do those on the Thursday night show, our 101 show. But this is the 100th episode that I've had that's been uploaded to iTunes. For people who've, you know, been a part of the show or followed me back when, you know, Mega Upload was the way that I used to, you know, had feeds to the TV show, or excuse me, to the podcast show, I have evolved into the iTunes world so that you could walk around and have me in your podcast, in your iTunes, or excuse me, in your iPhone and whatever listening device you use. Very excited about this show. We talked about doing it for a while ago. We decided that we weren't going to do the same list, even though we match up in a lot of areas, especially for 55, because I was too tired to really put a thorough look into it. But we are going to do the work for K1. We're going to do the work for Glory Series. We're going to have fun, and we're going to pick the best in the world, best 16 fighters in the world in every weight class to give you a really quality tournament field. We'll throw out some matchups that we think would be a lot of fun. We're just going to have fun in this podcast show. I'm excited about it. Ryan's excited about it because we love talking about kickboxing because we're a bunch of nerds, and that's what we're doing in the middle of the night here. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it. Before we get started, Ryan, I'll ask you this real quick. What did you think when I first threw this idea of talking about all the weight classes? Is this a conversation you could have in your everyday life, or is this something restricted to our hardcores in the podcast world?
Yeah, this is definitely restricted to the hardcores in the podcast world. I probably don't even have a single friend in real life who knows anything about kickboxing. So, yeah, I basically get my fix, through Twitter and the podcast and all that. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome, you know, just to sit back and be like fantasy matchmaker and stuff like that, you know, we put together basically the best of the best at every weight, and, you know, I just wish all this could happen.
Yeah, this is us playing billionaire right now, how we would form the world of kickboxing if we mastered it. But this is also a for, you know, your Glory Series, for your K1 to look at the guys we mentioned and say, hey, do we have these guys on the roster? These two guys who are kickboxing nerds are saying that they're some of the best in the world. Maybe we should invest in these gentlemen. So we're definitely going to do our best to, if you are one of these fighters, hopefully this gets your name out there and you get the exposure. And maybe someone just comes across the podcast show, hears about these guys, and they're, you know, want to be brave enough to put together a 55kg tournament. We would love it. You know, we'd love the kickboxing sport. So we're pretty excited about it, and we're glad the field has come together the way it has. We'll go ahead and jump into it. I have one more fun question. Ryan, what got you into falling in love with kickboxing?
You know, I started off with MMA. And, you know, before kickboxing, I was really, really hardcore about MMA. Like, I was doing the same nerdy stuff I do in kickboxing right now as I was doing in MMA. Like, you know, I was trying to search up the most obscure guys and say, oh, you know, this guy could be really good and blah, 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 you know, doing stuff like that. And I don't know, it was really in the past few years, you know, I was definitely a hardcore kickboxing fan, but definitely in the past few years, you know, kickboxing and Muay Thai, for me, it started to surpass MMA for me, and I don't know, I just, you know, fell in love with kickboxing and Muay Thai, you know, really, when I really fell in love with it was, you know, maybe 3 years ago, but I was still a pretty hardcore fan, you know, dating back to when I started watching MMA, you know, around, I think it was 2004 or something like that. But I really got hardcore about 3 years ago, you know, when I started doing all the nerdy stuff that I do.
Awesome. And then for myself, for the listeners, basically I was staying at a friend's house when I was playing college football. Like I was staying at his house instead of staying in the dorms. And one day we got to a conversation because I'd heard a story about Bob Sapp in an ESPN, the magazine. Like they did a story on him going over to Japan and stuff like that. And he had, the only reason why I read the story is because he played for the Vikings, you know? So I saw that he was wearing a Vikings jersey and I paid attention to the story. And then his name came up randomly in a conversation, and then we decided to watch, you know, look for one of his fights. And that's back when Kaza was the stream that everybody's using to, you know, download whatever. And we went to it and we downloaded. And the first fight we came across was Bob Sapp when he got disqualified. I forget the name of the Japanese fighter that he fought against. Then we watched Cyril Beattie fight. And the third fight was the Miracle Krokop fight. And when Miracle Krokop busted his orbital, something just changed in me. And I was like, I wouldn't know what this sport is. After that, Sheerdog had some fans who had put together a bunch of kickboxing videos. And we just kept going to the videos, just kept going to, you know, watch the you know, Mike Bernardo highlights, the Ernesto Hoos highlight with the, you know, the remix they had of what was it? It was a remix they had between it was a Tiger style remix between the Wu-Tang Clan and I want to say Rage Against the Machine. And I remember I loved that video and I just fell in love with it. And then the first K1 event that was coming up for us to watch that was on pay-per-view was Remy Bonjowski's USA tournament win where he meets Michael McDonald in the final. And I just fell in love with Remy, fell in love with the sport, followed it, you know, really hard after that. Started going to the K1 USA sites, started off with, segued that into K1 fans. And I really just went to it and people would upload, you know, fights all the time. And I just fell in love with the sport. I had a friend who I could pay and he'd send me DVDs. And that's when I fell in love with guys like Vili Akramenko and stuff like that. And that took off. So I've been a hardcore addict in this game for about 9 years, but really enjoy the fight sport. So, but that's just a quick little in and out about us and what got us into the sport. You know, I would love it if on Twitter or on Facebook, people just sent me some of their stories, what got them into kickboxing, and I would love to say it. You know, I'd love to do it over the air and just talk to you, you know, get what the fans are thinking. Also, for this episode, we would love it if fans would say, hey, this person should be in, this person shouldn't be in. We want to hear your thoughts and we want to hear your views. Unless your name is Brent Famu and you're upset that we didn't put a lot of hardcore Muay Thai guys in here, I'll have a separate episode for that, I assure you. But this one will be mostly kickboxing focused. So we're going to go ahead and start with 55 kgs. I'm going to turn it over to Ryan Scully. I'm going to let him read down the list. After he reads down the list, I'll go ahead and, you know, get the questions going in the field. I'm letting Ryan do this because, as I mentioned before, normally I host and direct us or whatever, but I got tired and I was not able to get a 55 list together as we were sending our list back and forth. But we've got some, you know, agreements and some dissensions, so we'll have some fun. So Ryan, if you could start us off and read down your list.
All right, 55 kilograms. You got Nobuchika Terado, Kenji, who is Yuta Kubo's brother, Shoto Takiya, Andy Housen, Romy Danza, Reese Crook, Pajonsuk Porpamuk, Ryuya Kusakabe, Damien Trainer, Albert Che, Takeru, Frank Gross, Amin Kassam, Ryuji Kato,
hold on a second. Ryan? Ryan, you still there? Ryan.
Oh, yeah, it says internet problem.
Okay.
Did you see that?
I did not. Hold on a second. Sorry, everyone. I lost Ryan for a second there, thus the in and out, but we're back on. Don't have as many technical difficulties. Apologize when we do have them. Basically, we're going to go ahead and run down the list one more time. If you could, take us really quick down your 55kg list one more time. Sorry about the interruption, folks.
Yeah, 55 kilograms. We've got Noble Chica Torado, Kenji, who's Yuta Kubo's brother, Shoto Takiya, Andy Housen, Romy Danza, Reese Crook, Fajonso Porpamuk, Ryuya Kusakabe, Damien Trainer, Albert Che, Takeru, Frank Gross, Amin Kassem, Ryuji Kato, Takashi Ono, and you could choose any tie, but I took Chokpricha Ko Sakunchua.
Okay, cool. Well, as we go ahead and jump into this, you know, I'm definitely really, really curious to people, like, if you look at this matchmaking-wise, what would be one of the funnest fights that you would like to put together? And, of course, for me, because we missed it, Andy Housen was actually supposed to be the one fighting Romy Adanza. Andy Housen had come across a loss to another member of the list who wasn't Torado. Who did Housen lose to?
He lost to Torado.
That was the guy who got him. All right, cool. So he lost to Torado. And we were hoping that Torado would then come over to America and fill in for Romy Adanza. Instead, Adanza fights another member of the list and CT wins, and probably one of the KOs of the year with that left high kick. But I would love to see a Romy Adanza Housen fight. That would be the kind of all action fight that I would really, really enjoy. Also, Damien Trainer taking on Romy Adanza would be fun. Ponzinsuk Porpamuk, I would really like to see him take on Nobuchika Torado. I think that would be a fun matchup. Is there anyone that off the top of your head, like, wow, I would love it if these two guys got together?
I think it would be pretty awesome to see, like, Amin Kassem versus, you know, Nobuchika Torado or something like that. I mean, Amin Kassem is really good, like, beyond his years good. And, you know, he's still like 18 or 19, and he just beat Albert Che. So he's really good. Fajonsuk Porpamuk and Kenji actually fought before, and Kenji actually beat him, and he, like, knocked him down too, which is pretty surprising, because Fajonsuk, I mean, basically beat Kareem Binui, who is 61 kilos, and beat Ayub Al-Qaidar too, 61 kilos. So, you know, it's really impressive for Kenji to beat him. So I'd like to see, you know, I think Kenji against Chokpricha would be pretty awesome.
Okay, of these guys, if you were to pick, you know, who would move in, and we won't say the whole field, if we were to break it down to a final four, who do you think would be the ones to make it through? For me, of course, I see Chokpricha's name. I'm going to say he's going to have an advantage over everyone at the weight class because he consistently goes against the best competition and does well. Andy Housen is the kind of person that could be in the final four and could lose in the first round of 16 because he's so gung-ho, you know, but I do like his power to carry. Despite the fact that Romy Adanza was, you know, dropped, he has a style, if it was K-1 rules or Glory Series rules, in which he could move on because he's going to land so much of the boxing. I do like Amin Kassem as a guy who, you know, once I saw you put his name, I went and checked him out a little bit. I like him, but I don't know if I like him over Torado. I do like Torado. I've seen Torado fight a couple times. I wish there was more, but, you know, once you're in the Rise scene, you're fighting on Rise of Japan and the various other smaller promotions out there, it's tough to get those fights. So definitely those guys are some of the names that I'm leaning towards being one of the four or five guys to move on. Ponzinsuk Porpamuk would also be another person that I would put in that group. What are your thoughts?
I think his final four goes, you know, you have to take Chokpricha, obviously. And then after that, it becomes, you know, really close between most of the guys. But I think I would favor... I'd favor Shoto Takiya, Ryuji Kato. You know, I think right now those are probably, you know, the two best guys in Japan at this weight. And know, maybe Kenji, you know, definitely Pajansu, Porpamu could get there. He lost to Kenji, you know, can't see video, unfortunately, but, man, it's pretty tough. You know, probably Chokpricha, Ryuji Kato, Shoto Takiya, and, you know, Pajansu or Kenji.
For sure. And even if the whole field doesn't move on, there's some big time action fights in there. Damien Trainor versus anybody's all action. So it would be a good tournament field for sure. Okay, cool. We're going to go ahead and move on to 61. I'm pretty excited about this. This is where we're going to have a little bit of dissension. I will go ahead and run through my list first. I will go ahead and start with Ayub El Kidar. Ayub E L K I D A R for people who are, you know, looking up the names. And then Sean Hugh Kim, the guy who excited us all at his, you know, come out of nowhere, and I'm gonna stop and give credit where credit's due. Ryan Scalia said the fight he was most interested in seeing was Kim versus name eludes me right now.
Genji Umino,
and he definitely said that he felt that that was going to be the fight of the night, even though he didn't know anything about Kim. He says there's a chance that Kim could just burst on the scene and, you know, be somebody we didn't know that we should have known, and it turns out he was just that. Jeonhyun Kim, awesome performance. As soon as I saw him, I was like, that guy's got to be in my 61kg field. Very, very entertaining. Clean with the hands, low kicks, and just tough as all hell. Saki Noor is my son, so of course he's going to be in this. Krim Benui, big time Krim Benui fan, even though, you know, he's hasn't been on the scene as much since the loss to Hernandez in terms of as much as I want to see him. But of course, I'm a kickboxing junkie, so I want to see him all the time, even though he's fought in Thai fight recently. Sanchai Sor Kingstar, I love Sanchai, so if I'm going to pick a Thai to be in this weight class, I'm going to pick Sanchai, even though I could really put him in a couple of the weight classes because, you know, he's that sick as an athlete. Masahiro Yamamoto, big fan of him. I love the performance that he put on when he won the It's Showtime title. Koya Rube, that's my other son, so he's always going to be in the tournament field. Javier Hernandez, love Javier Hernandez, despite the fact that he lost in a very entertaining scrap. He lost his It's Showtime title. Unfortunately, with that kind of them not being sure about that, the only thing that we could be excited by is it seems like Glory Series is going to invest in some more weight classes next year. So we're only hoping that we can get more 61kg fights because, to quote Ryan Scalia, every time they're on a card, they're just the best fights. So moving down, Yetkin Azkul is a person we've talked about in the show many times, very talented fighter. Kosuke Kumiyama, Ryuji Kujiwara, of course. Kujiwara is a regular. We've seen him on the 63 kg tournament, 63.5 if I'm going to be correct, kg tournaments that they've had in K1 last year, back when they didn't have major tournaments. They had Japanese-focused ones for the last couple of years. And Ryuji Kujiwara, very talented guy, crush cards. Ras Sarkisian, a little dissension because he is a guy who's fought low but is getting bigger, but I decided to put him on my list. And then Ignacio Kaplianch, if I'm saying that correctly, and then Michael Tomahawk Thompson from Australia. There are going to be some similar names here, but Ryan Scalia, could you go down your list?
Yeah, Masahiro Yamamoto, Masaki Nori, Yakin Ozkul, Kareem Benui, Thomas Adamandopoulos, Javier Hernandez, Kosuke Komiyama, Hirotaka Urabe, Koya Urabe, Cheng Hyun Lee, Genji Umino, Constantine Trishan, Tetsuya Yamato, Sergio Wilson, Joe Concha from Australia, and for my Thai, I chose Jomtong Chuwatana.
Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and have some fun, and I'll look at some of your names on your list. Then you look at some of the names of mine. First of all, it was a fail on my part for not getting Thomas Adamandopoulos onto my card. I really like him as a fighter. Just the name eluded me as I was putting my list together. You could go with any number of ties. And John Thong is a guy who, you know, despite the fact that the ties are really good at the clinch, I like the idea of him coming in and just, you know, body kicking the hell out of somebody. He's definitely going to be a lot of fun. Sergio Wilson is a guy who, he's so small for 61, I almost feel like he can make 55 because he's such a small guy, but definitely a big-time fan of his, and I would like to see him. He's competitive here, and he's the last It's Showtime champion to, you know, hold the title. So, like, to actually defend it. I think he defended it twice before he lost it. So that just shows, you know, he's definitely got some good skill set. And then a lot of our other names are very similar. You decided to have Jinky Umino in there. Very, very talented guy. All fun when we watched him the other night. So I'll turn it over to you to look at some of the names on my list.
Yeah, let's see. Looking at your list, you know, if there's one guy I probably left out, it's Ryuji Kajiwara. You know, he kind of gets stuck between 61 and 65. And, you know, I didn't put him at 61 because I'm not sure if he could do that weight. And at 65, you know, I'm not sure if he'd be great at that weight. It's kind of weird with Kajiwara because, I don't know, he always starts losing and then lands like a counter shot to get a knockdown. And then he wins based off, you know, the knockdown. I mean, it's pretty crazy to think that he really, you know, hadn't lost that much at all. You know, aside from Adamandopoulos and Tenoyri last year, you know, he was beating everyone. So, yeah, I know leaving him off, you know, I probably could have put him on. You know, Ignacio Caponch. He's my dude, you know. I showed him to you, but
yes,
you know, I didn't put him on here because, you know, I still don't think he's ready for this level of competition yet. You know, that's why I didn't put him on here. You know, obviously, Ras Sarkisian, you'll see later, and you know, Michael Tomahawk Thompson. I put Joe Concha instead from Australia. You know, I think Joe Concha is the number one guy at that weight in Australia right now. You know, he KO'd Dane Daddy Cool twice and just got another win at Cage Muay Thai. So, and I think it's just because of the nature of his wins, you know, dominantly stopping guys, you know, especially the second fight against Dane. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't see it, but from all accounts, he dominated him and stopped him in the second. And, you know, Tomahawk just beat Poincaré in Cage Muay Thai. But I can't remember 100%, but I think Dane might have beat Tomahawk in the past. I'm not 100% on that. So, but it was in, like, 2010 or 2011, so I can't quite remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, pretty much interchangeable. And then, yeah, you have basically then it comes down to, you know, you have Ruben Almeida, and I have Constantine Nutrition. Probably, again, they're interchangeable. I just put, you know, Trishan. I don't know, because the reason Almeida is on Liver Kick rankings is because he got that win over Javier Hernandez, you know, even though, you know, there's some pretty shady reffing and
for sure,
all that, you know, we go by official wins. So, you know, a win's a win. And I mean, the fight was still relatively close, you know, despite the knockdowns being called, the fight was still relatively close, and, you know, Almeida fought Hernandez twice, so, yeah, he could definitely be in, and, you know, Trishan, he hasn't had any big fights in a long time since, like, K1 in 2008, but he's fighting on the 27th, you know, against my other guy, Jinba. So, yeah, they're definitely interchangeable. We'll see how good Trishan is.
Okay, cool. Well, let's have some fun and play matchmaker. Let's say some fights that you would like to put together that you would think would be pretty entertaining. I definitely like the idea of Koya Robe and Thomas Adamandopoulos, just because Koya Robe is the kind of guy who has all the skill to possibly win a tournament like this, but he also has the defensive liability to lose in the first round. He's just a guy who at times he's savvy, he scores with counters, one of the best left hands you're gonna see in a sport. His movement can be good, and at other times his movement's horrible. You know, like he's just a guy who get hit all the time. So I like the how it's kind of a surprise every time he goes out there. Masaaki Nori is my guy, so anybody that he fights in this field I think would be fun. I'm curious how he would do against a Sanchai. As much as Sanchai is the master and so on, I would just love to see those two kind of play the game back and forth. Of course, clearly you're going to lean towards Sanchai winning that one. But Nori versus Javier Hernandez would be a lot of fun for me too. He's a kick first guy, and Javier Hernandez is going to definitely mix the boxing in a little bit more. So a lot of people are going to, you know, if they're going to pick a winner out of those two, especially under, you know, K1 rules or glory rules, they're going to pick the guy who's got the, you know, more of the hands. But Masaaki Nori's hands aren't bad, and his step up knees are brutal. So I definitely like him. And then Michael Tomahawk Thompson, of course, as you mentioned before, him and Kasha are very, very close and interchangeable. But I would like to see Michael Thompson, and in the matchmaking that I kind of put here, is against Ignacio. I just like that matchup. It's a good test for both guys in the first round of the field. So definitely like that. But yeah, anything could work in this one. I also have Sanchai versus Masahiro Yamamoto. I think there's a lot of fun matchups that you can make at this weight class. And again, if this tournament ever happened, I would tell everybody, I don't care what's on. I don't care if it's, you know, whatever dream fight that you could put together, the dream card that you could put together, I don't think that entertainment-wise it would look as good as this field would look. So a couple of fight matchups that you would like to see in this weight class.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see pretty much any combination of Chang Hyun Lee, Joe Concha, and Javier Hernandez and Yekin Ozkul, because they're all big punchers, and they all like to trade punches. And I mean, I think they would be all out wars, and I think they would be pretty awesome. I mean, I think we definitely see some KOs, we'd see some knockdowns with these guys, because all these guys can bang, and you know, Concha and Hernandez, you know, they've been knocked down before. And, you know, Ozkul has too. But, you know, I don't know if Lee's been knocked out before, but all these guys could definitely knock each other out.
Okay, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and ask the question. If you're going to pick four guys out of this field, who are you going to pick to move on? If I were to, you know, add, you know, someone on your list that I don't have on my list, definitely the idea of I like the idea of Javier Hernandez being there towards the end. If, you know, John Thong is in the field, I think he's a given that he would be in the top four. I'm never going to go against Masaaki Nori, so I got to put my son in there because, you know, that's it's my child. Can't go against my child. And big fan of, you know, Sanchai, but he's also the kind of person who could play around enough to not be at the end. I can't say Koyarobe because I can't trust him to win three straight fights to win, you know, I guess it would be two. So if he won 16-8, then he'd be one of the semifinalists. I think he could show up and upset on one of the better guys in the world and then next time lose to a guy who just throws hard enough, you know, like a Raz Sarkisyan or something like that. I don't know. It's an interesting field, but those are four names that stick out to me. And then, of course, Ozkul actually has the power to be there, you know, no matter what. But those are kind of the names that I'm thinking would make it to the top. As impressive as Chun Hyun Kim was, I think if he got a person that was a little bit more patient like Masaaki Nori or someone who he couldn't hit in the head as easily as a Sanchai, I think that he wouldn't move on very far, but I would still love to see him fight anybody. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think John Thong wins the whole thing, so I think he'd be final four definitely. And I think Ozkul would be final four. He's got way too much power. And after that, it gets really tough. You know, I think after those two, it gets really tough. I mean, most of these guys could beat each other. You know, it's pretty tough because, you know, at the same time, Nori can just dominate guys. But if he has one flaw, it's his, you know, defense to punches. And, Ross Sarkisian exploited that last year. Yuji Takeuchi exploited that, you know, in the tournament. So, and it's pretty hard to pick, but I think I would have to go with Jomthong, Ozcool, Noiri, and the last one. Man, that's tough.
Yes, it is.
But I think I might go with Cream Vanui for the last one.
Cool. Well, fun stuff, and definitely discuss this among yourselves, people. You know, we're going to move on to 65, and we'll get towards 70. So for a lot of these guys, a lot of these weight classes, these are newer names to you, but definitely sit down and check these names out. Maybe I can post it somewhere. Maybe I can post it on my Facebook or you know, post the names up on Twitter or whatever. Maybe Ryan could do something similar. But just to give you guys the opportunity to, you know, see the spelling of these names, because we definitely want you guys to sit down and check these guys out. Definitely sit down and check out, you know, your Yakin Ozcools, your Jomthongs, your Javier Hernandez's. Like, you will enjoy your YouTube experience when you sit down and you watch these guys. So we're going to move on up to another weight class. We're going to do 65 kgs now. We've got a lot of similar names, and we've got a lot of different ones, but I definitely decided to have fun with this field. I am going to change one of my names that I had written down originally because Ryan informed me that it's difficult for this gentleman to get under 70 kgs. So I will go ahead and add someone that he had on his list, just because I don't have enough time to go looking for another guy. But I will add Sugar Fairtex. But I'm going to go Masab Amrani, Frank Paredes of Vilches. I'm going to go Aziz Kala. I'm going to give an opportunity for Dongsu Kim. I'm going to go Kim Sitsong Pinyang. I'm going to go Shinjik Alizov, who, of course, can campaign. He's been campaigning between 65 and 70. But I'm going to go ahead and put him in 65 because I wanted to have him on one of my lists, and I don't have him on my 70 list. I'm going to go with Chai Ben Lim, who beat Mosab Amrani in a very entertaining fight that was going to earn that earned him a title shot at 65 kgs. But it looks like that weight class and that title doesn't exist anymore, and it's showtime. But Chai Ben Lim, Kevin Ross, the American, very, very talented fighter. Fabio Pinca, very talented guy. Pinca, of course, if this was 67 kgs, it'd be so easy for me to put it here. This is a little bit lower, you know, especially for a guy who's campaigned at 70 and fought some really good guys, fighting at Precha and fighting, you know, Petrosian. He's fought some guys bigger, but he's also the guy who fought, you know, Sanchai, you know, so in January, I want to say. So, definitely a guy who could fight everywhere. And then, of course, Liam Harrison, very talented fighter, who his low kick style makes him a natural move over to from full Muay Thai to kickboxing. I think it's easy move for him. Easier than, you know, his teammate Jordan Watson, who's got all the skill to do it as well. But I think Liam Harrison has a natural fit in the weight class. Fita, the guy they had in the FF videos, I forget his last name right now. Do you know what it is off the top of your head?
Muhammad El Atmani.
Got it. And then Muhammad Kamal, of course, is one of my favorites. And the idea that he was returning to kickboxing, we joked on this show about how it was big news for us, but he announced his retirement after winning in the slam event, Holland versus Thailand. And then he just announces retirement after beating Siak. And then all of a sudden he's coming back to fight for glory in a fight that didn't end up happening with Gregorian. And we were like, oh, gosh, it's like we were cheated. But we still love the idea that he's back and he's competing. Tetsuya Yamada, definitely like having him in the field. Yuta Kubo, guy who I've been really, really high on for a while. And then Hassin Banui. Those guys round out my list. I'm going to kick it over to Stream Master. Throw your list at us.
Yeah, as you saw on Steven's list, he had Raz Sarkisian at 61. I have him at 65. Then I have Mosab Amrani, Yuta Kubo, Hussein Benoui, Chi Bin Lim, Hicham Mujtahid, Sergey Lipinets, Sun Hyun Lee, Keo Fairtex, Kevin Ross, Modibo Diarra, Sufyan Zridi, Muhammad Kamal, Liam Harrison, Hiroki Ishii, the current Rajadamnern champ, and Mehdi Zatout.
Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and look at your list. Hiroki Ishii, I didn't even think about. You know, I just was focused on guys who had more of a kickboxing resume, but that's definitely a fun name that I could add to the list, in particular since one of the guys that I've got is just had him just because the off guy of my list, and I'll go ahead and admit it, when I put Dongsu Kim in, I was just going off of, you know, I was trying to remember Chang-Hyun Lee, and I just couldn't remember him. And I couldn't remember him because I'd already had a guy with a similar name. Or excuse me, not Chang-Hyun Lee. I was trying to remember Sun-Hyun Lee, and I had a guy with a similar name. Couldn't remember it, so that's why I put him in. So I like that you have Sun-Hyun Lee on the card. I'm a big fan of I like the Mehdi Zatouet. I like that fighter. Sufyan Zridi, he's all right too. Not a guy who I like as much as some of the other guys, or that I've seen as much as some of the other guys. But I definitely think that the list is, again, very similar. You've got a couple more stadium guys than I do. We talked about Ku Fairtex off the air. He's just a guy who I slid in because of a mistake that I made in the weight class of a gentleman who, you know, really, I think it would be a really good fit if I could get, you know, Hafid El-Bastadi in 65, because he was so small when he was going against Robin Van Roosmalen. But turns out, you know, Vinny Shorman was saying that Hafid is just, he barely made 70. I mean, he wasn't a big guy, so I was so surprised by that. I thought he could make 65 easy. But those are just a couple of the names that I noticed on your list that I was like, wow, you know, that would be a lot of fun to see those guys. And then Ishii, of course, after Umino, I'm very, very curious to see how guys who are predominantly full-time guys moving into the kickboxing world, because that was really, really an entertaining scrap. So go ahead and turn it over to you.
Yeah, I like Hiroki Ishii. You know, his style suits the kickboxing pretty well. I mean, he throws like punch combos and followed by the low kicks and stuff like that. And you know, when he defends his Raja title, you know, he's fighting, you know, 63. His last fight was 64, so 65 isn't a really big deal. And I'll go over your list. Let's see, I didn't include Kim just because, you know, I thought he was bigger than 65, and he hasn't made the weight in quite some time. And I put Tetsuya Yamato at 61. His last fight was at 61.5, so figured 61 would be a good fit. Chingiz Alzov, you'll see later. Again, I think Aziz Kala, I put him in a similar position to Ignacio, where, you know, I just didn't think he was quite at the, you know, at the really world level yet. But, I mean, he should definitely be there in the future. And Pinka, you know, you'll see later. And, yeah, I really like Kevin Ross. And some of the different guys I have. Mehdi Zatouet, you know, solid guy around 65, 67. You don't really hear about him that much, but you know, he fights here and there. He fought Senchai, and you know, he didn't do too bad. You know, he didn't really get completely clowned. And Sufyan Zridi, you know, he KO'd Hussein Binui in the first round in December and November, so last year. So I was pretty impressed with that, and from the other stuff I've seen of him. I think the unique thing about Sufyan Zridi is, like, he actually fights, lives, and trains out of Morocco. Like, normally you see the Moroccan fighters, they all like live in Holland or France or that. This guy is like actually training and fighting out of Morocco. So I thought, you know, that's really interesting about him. And Modibo Diarra, who's a guy I'm pretty high on. You know, I've been talking about him on Twitter a lot lately. You know, he's really stepped his game up lately, improved, dominated Cedric Paynod at a TK2 on October 6th. And Sergey Lipinets, another guy who I'm really high on, he's fighting this weekend against another really good young Ukrainian fighter, Rasul Kalchikayev. And, you know, the fight's exactly at 65 kg, so no problems there. I think Lipinets is really good. Another really good fighter from Belgium, Hicham Mujtahid. He fought for It's Showtime once before, and he's been fighting in Belgium. You know, he's a really good fighter, really good knees, and he really pours it on. And yeah, the rest of my guys are pretty similar to you. I picked Kill Fairtex because, you know, he is still fighting at Channel 7 Omno. He's ranked like 8th at Lumpini, and, you know, tends to lose because of the scoring criteria favoring the clinch, you know, where, you know, he can really fight from distance well and throw combos and stuff like that. So I thought he'd be a good fit.
Cool. Let's go ahead and have some fun and make some matchups. I like your Sun Hoon Lee. I like him to go against my Aziz Kala. I think that'd be a fun, entertaining match. Of course, Aziz Kala, that's a heart pick because I'm a big fan of his. Clearly, I do think that this, if he, you know, he fought way above his weight class last time. I mean, literally, we're talking about his walk-around weight was probably 73 when he fought against Gregorian. But he's a guy who generally fights, you know, 70 and even below 70. Now, I'm not sure if he can get to 65. The way his body frame is the main reason why I think he can make it. And once he's down there, I think there's some elite guys he could beat. So definitely like the idea of that matchup. Liam Harrison, of course, is just an entertaining all-action fighter who I could pretty much have him go against anything. I had him going against Fita, but I wouldn't mind seeing him going against Tatsuya Yamada. Muhammad Kamal is another guy who in my original makeup or write-up, I kind of did this list and I had some matchups and I had him going against Tatsuya Yamada. But I would love to see Muhammad Kamal go against Kim Sitsang-Pinyang. Then Frank Paradis Vilches is a guy who, a smaller guy from Peru who, you know, got some opportunities to fight in its Showtime. I believe he fought above his weight when he fought in its Showtime. He's a guy who can, you know, fight as low as 61, but I think 65 is a comfortable place for him. I had him on this list. I definitely like him as a fighter. I have Kevin Ross going against Fabio Pinca on this list, but I would love to see Kevin Ross go against Frank Paradis Vilches as well. Kevin's all action. And then Fabio Pinca, you know, if he makes the weight class, he's a tough, tough guy, and I would love to see him go against any of these competitors. So what are some matchups that you have?
I want to see Kale Fairchex versus Kevin Ross, because anytime Kevin Ross fights the Thai, it's fireworks, and I think that would be a really, really fun fight, you know, especially because Kale can counter and angle off really well, while Ross is just going to keep coming forward, and, you know, I think that would be really fun fight. I'd like to see Yuta Kubo versus Sun Hyun Lee, you know, kind of get some more crush rise action in there. I think that would be a really fun fight. Raz Sarkisian versus Yuta Kubo, I think would be awesome, just because Raz beat Noiri, so, and I think they'd match up really well with Raz's big punches. And Liam Harrison versus Roki Ishii would be pretty awesome. You know, two Muay Thai guys. I think Muhammad Kamal versus Kevin Ross would be pretty damn awesome, too.
Cool. Well, let's go ahead and, you know, work through this and pick who we would think would be our final four. Now, of course, the final four is going to be a little bit different. And then another guy who I was thinking about when I was thinking, Mossab Imrani versus any guy from any list is going to be an all-action fight because that's how Mossab fights. But as I was looking at this list and I was trying to say, okay, what four guys would I pick? We've got different lists, but Fabio Pinca would be a guy who I would have getting down there. Yuta Kubo is a guy who I would have. You know, I'm a big fan of Yuta Kubo. I've been, you know, backing him for quite some time, but I am a Yuta Kubo fan. Muhammad Kamal, I'm a big fan of his, especially since he's had success at higher weights, you know, him moving down 65. I definitely, this is a guy who, after he lost to Drago Gago, said that he would, you know, it was a couple years ago, but said that he would do the 63.5 tournament if they had it, which makes me, you know, this is a guy who, he's got some really good fights against Sergio Wheels and so on back in the day when he was a smaller guy. So the idea that he can get that off his frame still, get down to his weight class, I think he'd be really strong for it and he'd have a lot of success. Yes, I guess I'll go Liam Harrison for my last one. So I'll go Pinca, Harrison, Kamal, and Yuta Kubo from my list. I think those guys would make up the final four, and I think they'd be an all-action final four. But I would definitely go Chingiz Alazov with them as well. And I would actually, depending upon how the field went, I would actually pick him to win that field. But, yep, That would be my breakdown. Despite the fact that I would say Chings is as tough as he is, I think that there are guys in this field, in my field, that have bigger wins. But I think that he is capable of being an elite guy, and I think that he's, you know, capable of having a Petrosian type run where people just figure out who he is in 1 year. You know, us nerds knew who Petrosian was before he won the K1 World Grand Prix because he'd been beating so many good guys on its showtime before. But I think Chingiz Alazov has got the ability to run through people and win this whole tournament. So those are the four or five guys who I'd pick of this field.
Yeah, from my list, you know, my final four is pretty similar to yours. Liam Harrison, Mohamed Kamal, Yuta Kubo, and... Damn, that's, and Kevin Ross or Keo Fairtex. You know, I think between those five guys, you know, I think it's all really close. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to determine how well Keo would do. Because I don't know, he's, you know, mostly fighting, you know, clinchers and all that. So I don't really know how well he'd do to the new rule set. And all, but he's definitely got the skills. And, you know, Liam Harrison, Kevin Ross, Mohamed Kamal, they are all fitting really well. You know, Kevin Ross had good fights with Senchai Sagatow, even though he's way bigger. You know, not many guys can say that. So I definitely think Ross would do well.
For sure. I think Kevin Ross is, again, he's got all the skill and he's got a natural understanding of striking. Like, he's got a good flow about how he scores. You know, he blends things really well. Now, of course, there's not going to be elbows in this, but I still think his other skill sets, the way he uses boxing, the low kicks, he has fun and does the, you know, the handstand kick every once in a while too. I think he's got the skill set. I do like some of the top guys better, but him and Yuta Kubo would be an awesome semifinal match. But other than that, we pretty much picked the same list. So a lot of fun there. And people at home, definitely converse amongst yourselves. And you know, who do you think are the best 65 of the names that we mentioned? So should be a lot of fun. We're going to go ahead and move into a little bit more familiar territory for our listeners. We're going to hit the 70 kg weight class. 70 kg, of course, is going to – its history is, you know, forged in K1. Where there's just an exciting amount of names of guys who, you know, are like household names due to how many people pay attention to the K1 product. You know, Buakaw Porpormuk could go to any country in the world and fight, and people know who he is and know him as K1 Buakaw. And it's funny because we were talking about, I was talking about Thai Fight with one of my viewers and then one of our good friends who's from England, but he's down in Thailand, Rob Cox. And we were talking about Buakaw, and he was talking about how Buakaw's competition in K1 was so much better than his competition in Thai Fight that he almost wished that he was back in, you know, K1. Like, we kind of joked about, like, you know, it's just different. The lore of K1, the reputation that it brought made 70 kgs the weight class. So thanks to guys like Masato and Albert Krauss and Mike Zambides and Buakaw and Andy Sauer. That's why this is the premier weight class. But throughout the years, we've had some names emerge, and me and Ryan are going to have a lot of similar names in this, but we're going to have fun and run down this list. I will start with Andy Sauer, Andy Risty, Jordan Watson, Mike Zambides, Kai Hollenbeck. That was kind of a pick to just kind of diversify it. I could definitely, you know, interchange him with a lot of guys like Yoshihiro Sato and so on, but I decided to, you know, mix it up, put a Kai Hollenbeck in as a guy to kind of get an opportunity. Steve Moxon, he's got all the talent in the world and should have been here maybe, you know, even a couple of years ago, but this year he's really made a name for himself. George Petrosian, Ake Preacher, Abraham Requini, Sonny Dalback, the Glory Series fighter, Robin Van Roosmalen, Frank Georgie, Buakaw, Semsi Bakiri, Artur Kashenko, and Jordan Watson. I'm going to kick it to you, Stream Master. What is your list of 70 kg fighters? Which is very, very close to my list.
Yeah, very similar. Giorgio Petrosian, Buakaw, Robin Van Roosmalen, Andy Sauer, Andy Risty, Semsi Bakiri, Ake Preacher, Miniotin, Frank Georgie, Mike Zambides, Joan Favreau, Steve Moxon, Fabio Pinca, Yoshihiro Sato, Chingiz Alazov, Jabir Askarov, and Sani Dalbek.
Okay, cool. Well, as I look at your list, First of all, like Johan Favreau, I've got him. Just got him a weight class higher. Clearly, he can make 70. And I've stood next to him before because I was at the Lyon event, so I know that he could probably fight a little bit higher. And I think he's fought a little bit over 70, around 72, and so on. So I just kind of moved him there just because I was like, all right, I'm trying to put a lot of names in two weight classes, and I wanted to keep them, but I didn't want to put them in this weight class. Johan Favreau is probably best suited for this weight class. Very talented guy, and I always, if you guys go back in some of the old podcast shows, I always joke that when I saw him in Lyon, I thought he was going to lose because he was there with his girlfriend, and she was helping him prepare and stuff in the back, and anytime I've seen that before in my history of cornering people at, you know, local Muay Thai and kickboxing events when I was in Minnesota, whenever I see it, I'm like, you know what? This guy's probably going to lose. And each time I say it, the guy turns out to be like a monster. And the guy's like really good. Maybe he's spawned on by the fact his girlfriend's watching. But that night in Lyon, Favreau stopped his opponent. And I was like, this guy's legit. So and I believe he beat Jordan Watson in April. So good stuff from Johan. I like him on the list, but I just have him on a different list. You have Fabio Pinca. I have him on 65 kg, so we're all good there. Yoshihiro Sato. Kai Hollenbach, of course, is my wild card. I just kind of used him because I wanted to throw an American name in there. Maybe I was being nostalgic, but Yoshihiro Sato clearly is an elite talent who, you know, we're just, what, 2 years removed from him facing George Petrosian in the finals. So definitely very skilled guy there. Sonny Dalback, of course, you and I both love, have both have on your list. And Jabbar Askarov, resume-wise, his, you know, he struggles with the elite, but he's definitely a top 16, 70 kg fighter in the world. So that's what I thought when I look at your list. But other than that, every single name is exactly the same. It's because it's pretty easy in the 70 kg tournament to figure out who's who. But go ahead. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, once you got to the last few guys, it was pretty hard because, you know, Askarov, it's kind of, you know, he's kind of hard to gauge sometimes. I mean, a lot of people give him, you know, criticize him a lot just because of his style. I do think he would beat Albert Krauss. And it's, again, with Abraham Rokhany, it's kind of hard to... Rokhany's kind of hard to gauge. Like, I don't know, he gives Andy Sauer fits, but the fight against Albert Krauss, you know, I think Jabber is even more physical than Albert Krauss, so I think Askarov would beat Rokhany. So that's why I have him on there. And, you know, I love Sonny Dalbec. I think he's, you know, one of the future stars. You know, love Steve Moxon, obviously. The rest is pretty straightforward, you know, like Petrosian, Bulacow, Robin, Sal, Risty, like Pracha, Georgie, Zambo. It's, I mean, for the most part, it was a pretty easy weight class to pick. You know, we have most of the same guys. You know, Watson could definitely be there over Askarov. Let's see what else you got there.
You have Kishenko at a different weight class.
Yeah, Kishenko at a different weight class. You know, Hollenbeck could be there for sure. Yeah, we're pretty similar. Rokhany could be there for sure. You know, it's when you get to the last few guys are interchangeable.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's go ahead and have some fun, do some matchmaking. Robin van Roosmalen is a great fight for anybody because he's the all action style. I like him going against Frank Georgie. I had some fun and I went ahead and went with Georgia Petrosian against Ek Preacher just because I would like to see how that matchup would happen. Because this is the sort of, like, if this was a K-1 field, I could see that happening just because I wanted to see if K-1 would try to get rid of Ek Preacher just to make sure they don't have a dominant tie. But two dominant ties with Bukau and Ek Preacher. But I will say this, Ek Preacher is a very entertaining southpaw style. So he's not a, you know, on the front foot, win with push kicks and inside kicks and stuff like that. He plays the game very little and has a lot of fun really going to kill guys. I mean, he's not a high-level destroyer. Like, he doesn't come out there, you know, a Bovey style, but he's an executioner. He's going out there and he's landing some significant shots. And, you know, some guys were spared earlier this year due to the fact that he had to wear elbow pads. But other than that, he's an awesome guy. Andy Risty and Andy Sauer, I definitely like that matchup. I could also go Andy Risty and Jordan Watson. I just realized as I look at my list, I accidentally put Jordan Watson twice. So I would slide in Jabir Askarov for that mistake, or Yoshihiro Sato for that mistake. But definitely a lot of fun with a lot of these matchups. Rukwini versus Sonny Dalback I thought would be a lot of fun. And then Bukal's good against anybody. I went with Semsi Bakuri as I was looking at this. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I want to see Robin versus Ekbracha. That would be a war. And I really like Andy Sauer versus Risty. I think of, you know, calls for that fight like three times on your podcast before.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to see Frank Georgi versus Ekbracha. Steve Moxon versus Mike Zambides.
Oh, yeah.
That would be so awesome.
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to die in that one. Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and it's time to pick the best four, who you would think would be there at the end. This one, as I look at it, it does depend on how the tournament field would break down for me. But my initial thought would be to say Bukal, Robin van Roosmalen, Georgia Petrosian, and Andy Sauer. Like, I think that that would be the easiest way to go. But it really depends on where Ekbracha was put into the field. Because if he's put where Georgia Petrosian was put, I do lean towards Georgia Petrosian to beat him. But if he was put anywhere else, you know, I'm curious how he would do if he met up with the Bukal. You know, this is as hypothetical as it gets because, you know, if this was K1 run, either they would meet right away or they would never meet. Or I would never even imagine Ekbracha and Bukal being in this. If this was K1 in its max heyday, no two ties would get that opportunity. Ekbracha would be in a super fight. But I guess for these guys, it does depend on how the tournament field works out because you've got some situations where, you know, Andy Sauer and Bukal meet where Georgia Petrosian fights, Yuya Yamamoto. You know, it's just kind of how things broke down. But if I were to kind of go with my four, I'd go Robin, I'd go Petrosian, I'd go Sauer, and I'd go Bukal against my better nature. Everything in them is telling me Ekbracha, Bukal is getting older. He's looking good against guys that aren't as good, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. Kishinko would be my five, Ekbracha would be my six. Kishinko, of course, my doubt is just how he handles the weight class. It has nothing to do with skill set. He could beat anybody on this list, you know, except for Petrosian. But the way that things physically he's just not strong there. There was a period of time where Petrosian just pushed him over, and I'm like, dude, you know, you're a way bigger guy, but the weight cut's just too much for him. So I was torn in putting him on 77, but decided to put him at 70. But those are my thoughts on the guys who I think would come out of this field. Kick it to you.
Yeah, I got Bukal, Petrosian, Ekbracha, and Robin van Roosmalen. You know, I just think looking at it, those are probably the four best guys here, I think. And, you know, obviously, depending on the matchups, the likelihood that they all get through, you know, just because it's a tournament format and all that, it's pretty unlikely, but I think those are the four best guys.
Nice, and that's an interesting breakdown. So he went Ekbracha, Petrosian, Bukal, and Roosmalen. So no Sauer for you, huh? That's an interesting one. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on up the field, 77 kgs. Now, there's going to be some agreements and some dissension in this in terms of how the matchups were made. But I'm going to go ahead and go. Some of these guys, I definitely have no problem losing because there were, when I looked at 77, there were some guys that I was high on and I wanted, and there were some other guys that I was not as high on, but I'd take. But Artem Levin, Johan Ladan, Alim Nabiev, Steve Wakelin, Nikki Holtzkin, Dolly Chen, Inad Kadir, Vahap, Azedinyar, Murat Gagorian, Alcine Alci Uzni, Sonny DeGrade, Maximo Suarez, who I'm really big on as a future star in the sport. Some people might say it's too early, but you know, I'll go ahead and go with Maximo. Myrtle Grenart, Dimitri Sekuda, then Yuri Bespertny, and That's where I put in Johan Favreau, who I talked about before. Stream Master, if you could so kindly tell us your list.
Yeah, Nikki Holzkin, Artem Levin, Myrtle Grunhart, Artur Kashenko, Vladislav Koshel, Alexander Stetsarenko, Lucien Oziuzny, Yoan Kongolo, Dmitry Shikuta, Michael Bodato, Alex Harris, Hicham El-Gaoui, Mark DeBont, Alviar Lima, Stephen Wakeling, and Dmitry Valente.
Okay, cool. Well, as I look at your list, and this is, for those who don't know, 7785 is the Stream Master. That's his strength. He's definitely got some good names in here, some names that I was, you know, torn when I was thinking about. And some of them who I have a little bit bigger weight class than 85, Kongulo, for example. Michael Bodato is an interesting name because I've always felt that Bodato has the talent to go out and get international wins, but I don't think he had the desire to go out and get international wins. I don't see why he wasn't called in or used in, you know, it's showtime or anything. And I don't know that the competition that he sees in Australia is that much of a push for him, though I do think he's a talent. Alvier Lima is an older guy. So I definitely wasn't leaning towards him. Hachin El-Goy, I've got at 85, but of course he's in that middle ground because he, you know, he fights at 81. I just decided to go up there. I was very interchangeable between 77 and 85. Dmitry Valent is a name that I definitely feel like I should have used. I like him a lot, in particular when you look at, you know, some of the names that I kind of put in. Alexander Stetsarenko is another guy who I had at a higher weight class, but Valent is a guy who I would have, for sure, if the name had come across my mind, I would have put him over Johan Ladon, who I literally just kind of put in, I think, as I was just kind of going through the map and I was trying to add some names. And Nad Kadir is another guy who, talented, he was going to get his K-1 opportunity, but he's another person who I just kind of put in as I was filling spots. I wasn't as high on him as I was on some of the others. Alim Nabayev, of course, is... that's my Russian son, or my Ukrainian son, so I had to have him on the list. But other than that, I think we are pretty similar. And then, of course, Yuri Bismertny and Johan Favreau are guys who I can't remember if you said Yuri or not, but Johan Favreau is a guy who you had at 70. So, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of guys on here that, you know, I just don't think are at the world level, like Dolly Chan, Vahap, Ozdemir, Sonny DeBade. You know, I generally look at those three guys, they're more like Dutch level than world level. And Maximo Suarez, you know, he could go here, you know, he's still very young, you know, that's just why I didn't include him. Same with Alim Nabiev, who, you know, right now is kind of more of a 70kg fighter. And, you know, Bismertny could be here too. I don't know, he kind of has the wins, but I'm still not too high on him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't look great doing it sometimes. And, you know, Lidong, again, you know, I don't know, watching his fights, I just don't think he's that impressive. And, you know, obviously, football, go 70. And, yeah, I'll talk about some of the guys that I have that you don't, you know. Stetsarenko, you know, he fights 80 in Tatnef, but, you know, he's not a big guy for that weight. I don't think he cuts weight, and I think he could make 77 fairly easily. You know, same with Hicham. He doesn't look like he cuts weight at all. I know Mark DeBont cuts weight. He fought at 79 his last fight. I think he could make 77, though. And I put Alviar Lima here just because... Did you see his fight against Gerald Sickman?
No.
Oh, well, it was at the Muay Thai Mania show with Ozzy and Holzkin. And, yeah, Alviar Lima TKO'd Gerald Sickman in the third round. You know, Sickman was looking really, really good. You know, he was using angles and picking Lima off as he was trying to come in. And Lima just wore him down, you know. I think the fight really showed that Alviar Lima has a lot left in the tank and that he's a lot better at a higher weight class, like 77, instead of like 72.5 where he usually fights. So Alviar Lima was like the last guy on my list. So, Yeah, but I definitely think he showed a lot in the Daryl Sickman fight. And, you know, Dmitry Valin, I'm very high on, is fighting next month against Kareem Gaji at 76. Stephen Wakeling, obviously.
Yep.
I was really impressed with Alex Harris when he fought Sato and Holtzkin. You know, he was beating Holtzkin before the body shots. Michael Bodato, I think he's shown a lot of improvement. Again, it's tough to gauge the competition in Australia, but I kind of felt like adding an Aussie. And Yoan Kogolo, I think he can make 77. I saw him, he fought 85 in March, and he beat up Davide Mosca, an Italian guy. And he looked pretty, he looked really small at that weight. And Vladislav Koshel is a guy who I just found out about like a week ago because he fought on the W5 show that was like a week ago, and that's how I found out about him. He looked really good. Ozzy, of course. Kishenko, I think this would be, he would be really good at this weight. I think this weight suits him even more than 73. I just think it allows him, you know, to not, to just fill out a lot more. And then, you know, Grunart, Levin, and Holtzkin are pretty obvious.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, I'll go ahead and play some matchmaker. Suarez, again, some of the names that, that you mentioned, I'll even admit that as I got down on the list, this weight class, not my strength, and I wasn't able to put them together. So I did choose some guys who, you know, fought in the Belgian scene or had some Showtime fights or something like that, whatever. So I do like Alex Harris is a fail. I couldn't remember his name, and I just kind of went with another name instead. Alex Harris is a guy who I definitely have on the list. But Alim Naviv, is he fought at 77 recently, but you're right, he can definitely get down to 70 kgs. With that said, I love him. He's on my list. Steve Wakeland is a guy who he lands a lot of boxing for a, you know, full rules Muay Thai guy. Steve Wakeland fights about as much as Floyd Mayweather fights. You know, it's like he makes enough money in his one fight a year, but I know that's not the case. But I just think that he's a talent and he definitely deserves to be here. So I like putting him and Alim Nabeev together. I thought that'd be a fun matchup. Artem Levin is good enough to go against anybody, and the fight will not be a great matchup because of how he fights. He's just a bull in there. But Murat Gregorian, I put him against Alcina Alzi Uzni. Yerbis Mertini, I had him against Johan Favreau as a very entertaining fight. But I put Mirtho Grenart versus Dmitry Shakuta, and I think that would be my favorite fight of the guys who I put together. So, kick it to you.
Yeah, I want to see Artur Kishenko versus Mirtho, even though they're at the same gym, so not going to happen. But I think that would be awesome. I want to see Steve Wakeling versus Mark DeBont. That would be pretty awesome, too. Let's see. Artem Levin versus Alexander Stetsarenko rematch. Again, that would be great. Let's see Stetsarenko versus Ozzy. That would be pretty fun.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, let's go ahead and pick our top four. I actually think this one is, when you look at who we decided were the easy names, I think this list provides a lot of guys like that. Nicky Holtzkin and Mirtho Grenart and Artem Levin. And then I guess my last one, it's just because we have a different guy. If I had Hachim here, I probably would have Hachim as one of those top four. But since I don't have him on the list, I will go ahead and say my last four to be in there would be Alcin Azni Uzni. Despite the fact that 77 has proven in the past to be big for him, I'm going to go ahead and ride with him at this weight class at this time. So those are the four who I would say of my field would get there to the end.
I'll take Artem Levin, Stephen Wakeling, and then after those two, it gets tough. Then I think I would take Ozzy, and I think we'll go with Artur Kishenko.
Nice, nice, good stuff. And you know, Wakeling would be in my teetering too. I wonder how he would do in a tournament because I don't see him fight as much. But everything skill set suggests that he'd be there. He is really, really a talented guy. And of course, his fight with Artem Levin, which turns out, which by the sound of it was boxing versus kicks, as you had discussed on the show earlier. He's the talent, so it would be a lot of fun. We're going to go ahead and move into the strength of the guy who I am talking to. We are going to go ahead and do 85 kgs. This is Ryan Scully's strength. I'm going to go ahead and run through my list. This list is a list of guys who I think I got a solid list, but I'll be the first one to admit that whatever Stream Master says is probably better than my list, just because this is his baby. I've mentioned some of my sons that are in the fight world. The entire 85 kg class is birthed of Ryan Scullia. So go ahead and go down the list. Bogdan Stoica, of course, he's a guy who's, you know, fights 91, 88. He fights, you know, above this weight class, whatever. I just went ahead and said, since that's such a nomadic weight class and I didn't want to put him in 95, I decided to put Stoica here. Alexander Oynik, I kind of went with him here because when he fought Dmitry Kuda, I just felt he was so much bigger and stronger. He could go up to 85. Melvin Menhoff. Eddie Walker. I went with Eddie Walker because of the big win he had over Joe Schilling. Despite the fact that Joe Schilling was really, really doing well in that fight, Eddie Walker just kind of, you know, similar to, you know, the infusion run, just kind of powered up and got him out of there. Tim Elgoy, I've got him here. Moises Rubal, I have here. Joe Schilling, despite the loss, I thought he was fighting very well. Artem Vakhadov, very talented guy. Definitely like him. As he fights pro and in the amateur scene of light. Andrew Tate, very, very talented guy. Talks the talk. I like him. I want to see more of him. I've got Yohan Kangulo here, where you've got him lower. Sahak Paparian, of course. This is, I almost feel like the weight class is birthed and being carried on his back, but he always takes it off the responsibility and goes up to 93 and 91 and 95 just for something to do. Jason Wilnes. Alexander Cesarenko, you've got lower. I've got him a little bit bigger. Yankov. Simon Marcus, of course, is a full rules Muay Thai guy who, in a kickboxing setting, I don't even know how well he would do, but I wanted to mix it up and use a Canadian fighter. And then Kostastin Tuto. I kick it to you now, Mr. Stream Master. Your baby, your weight class, 85 kgs. Tell the world who they need to know about. Who is your list?
Yeah, I got Sahak Paparian, Andrew Tate, Alexander Olenek, Artem Vakitov, Andre Gerasimchak, Abhi Jouf, Yassin Ahagan, Bogdan Stoica, Jean-Philippe Higo, Cesar Cordova, Melvin Manhoff, Alexandro Pereira, Cheikh Sidibe, Amir Ziyada, Alex Mapa-James, and Sidibou Sy.
Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and go down your list. Amir Ziyada is a big, strong guy who I didn't, you know, I've got him in my 95. He's just, you know, he fought there recently. He's just, if his weight was kind of more gut, then it'd be easier for me to say 85. But since he kind of got real muscle bound, I definitely like him at, you know, the weight class. At a bigger weight class, but I'm fine with that. Chick Sidibe is a tougher one for me. I remember him from its Showtime. I was torn on whether or not to put him, but I like him on there. Cesar Cordova is a guy we've talked about before as one of your favorites. I was torn there. I kind of went with a guy who I'm a little bit more familiar with, even though I am familiar with Cesar Cordova, a very talented fighter. Who else do you have on your list that I really enjoyed? Abhi Jouf is a very talented fighter who we've talked about before. I love that when you first started this list, the first four we had in common because I think they were probably the easiest names. But Melvin Manhoff, of course, we both have him and we both have Bogdan Stoica. But this is your weight class. It is of your privilege to critique my list, but you really don't have to go by it. This is your weight class.
Yeah. To start off, I mean, Alexander Olenek and Artem Vakitov have pretty much grown into 85. I don't think we can expect them to fight 80 anymore. I mean, Olenek fought at 91 at the IFMAs. So, and Vakitov's been fighting 86 at IFMAs. So they're definitely 85, I think. And Andrew Tate, Sahak Paparian, you know, speaks for itself. Andre Gerasimchak, you know, he's not very well known, but he has some pretty good wins, and you know, he's a pretty good fighter, and he's pretty big for the weight. But he makes it down there all the time. Yassin Ahagan is a guy I'm really high on from France. He's from, you know, the same team that Damien Alamos is in France, Ayoub El Kaidar in France, and Albert Che too. So and he's like the lone kickboxer of the team, I guess, you know, because of weight maybe, but he's definitely a really good fighter to watch out for. Jean-Philippe Gigot, seen one fight, and it was against Andre Gerasimchak, and he looked pretty damn good in that one too. Cesar Cordova, we talked about him. Melvin Manhoef, you know, kind of self-explanatory. When he gets at this weight, you know, he's pretty good. You know, he's been playing MMA lately, but he can always lace up the gloves. And Alexandre Pereira, you know, if you've been following Liverkick and my Twitter, you know I've been following the It's Showtime Brazil qualification tournaments, and Alexandre Pereira is the guy who actually won the 85kg tournament. He's going to fight Tahok next month in It's Showtime Brazil, so that should be a really good fight. I think the guy has a lot of potential. You know, he's still getting better. But I still think right now he's pretty good. And Chexadibre, you know, I wasn't that impressed with him at TATNF when he was fighting at 80. But then he went up to 85 and beat, you know, Jason Wilmes. And he dominated him with his knee game. So I was pretty impressed with him in that. And then Chexadibre just won another fight, like, last week or something. Amir Ziyada, again, could go either way. I think he's a lot better at 85. Alex Mamba-James from Australia, you know, he's probably one of the standouts at this weight, you know. It's kind of hard to tell where, if he's going to move up, you know, because I lurk on the international kickboxing forums. That's how I follow the Aussie scene. And I don't know, people say he's moving up. Some say 85, you know. But, you know, he dominated Gaz Ruiz. So, and Sidibu C from Sweden, who is a really good fighter, you know, Muay Thai style. He's pretty skilled. And then Abby Juf, who is the massive weight cutter, who somehow gets down to like 77. And I have no clue. He's doing MMA right now, but, you know, I saw an interview with him, and he said he wasn't done with kickboxing and all that. So, yeah, I got him there.
Cool. I'll go ahead and just some matchups that I made. Melvin Manhoef versus Eddie Walker, because both of the guys can crack. Bogdan Stoica versus Alexander Oynik. I think that would be a fun fight. I can't wait to see Bogdan against better competition, so that's why I like him in this field. Andrew Tate, and I put him against Congolo. Joe Schilling, I put him against Vakadov. I thought that'd be a fun fight. And I will name one more of the fights that I have. Paparian against Jason Wilnes. Go ahead, throw some fights that you had just matched up together that you think would be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, let's see. I want to see Alexander Oleynik versus Sahak Paparian, because Oleynik would be one of the more technical opponents that Sahak has fought, so I think it would be a pretty interesting fight. And you know, to get Sahak to see how we do against different styles of fighting. And I'd like to see how Bogdan Stoica versus Sahak, you know. It's kind of the fight we've been wanting to see for quite some time now, but it's never happened. I mean, they could fight at 91 if they wanted. I really want to see Cesar Cordova fight some of these better guys. Him versus Andrew Tate would be a really fun fight, because Cesar is really good with the boxing. Let's see. You know, I think Yassin Ahagan versus like Artem Vakitov would be really fun.
Cool. How old is Cesar Cordoba? Do you know?
He's 31 or 33 or something like that.
Cool. I guess I thought he was a little bit older. I remember a highlight video from him back in the day. We'll go ahead and pick the final four guys that we think are going to be there. You know, I guess it just depends on, you know, rule set definitely favors a Melvin Manhoef getting to the end. Of course, I got Zach Paparian there. Since I have Hachem El Goy on this field, I like him getting there. He's just a really weird guy. Hachem El Goy versus Andrew Tate would be a good fight for me, but I'll go with my list. I'll go Paparian. I'll go Tate. I'll go Stoica, and I'll go Manhoef. everything in me saying, Steven, what are you doing and not putting Artem Vakhadov in there? I'll go ahead and add him as a fifth, kind of an interchangeable four. It just kind of depends on the tournament field. But those are guys on my list that I'm particularly strong on.
Yeah, I think for me, I'll take Sahak and Andrew Tate. You know, I think three round fights, you know, really favor them. And it's pretty tough, but I think I'd take Bohdan Stoica and then Alexander Oleinik. Yep, I'm leaving Melvin Van Hook out.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a tough one. I was just messaging because you've said on the show before that if he just dropped to 85 and be fired, he'd be the best 85 in the world.
No, I don't know. I kind of changed my mind on that. After seeing his recent fights, you know, I think some of these guys could KO.
Okay, cool. Well, I definitely, hey, he's susceptible to that sort of thing, but I just thought that that'd be a fun one to throw at you because I remember when you said it. But, yeah, he would definitely struggle with some of the guys. I still think that, you know, this is a weight class, and these are guys for people to go out and check these guys out. Very, very skilled and entertaining fighters. So, going to go ahead and move on. We're going to go to 95 kgs. We are almost home, people. I'm going to go with Vladimir Meniv, a guy I've been very high on. I've talked about on this show several times. Oh, excuse me, hiccup. Amir Zayat is a guy who Streammaster had at 85. I've got him at 95 here. Zabit Semidov, I went ahead and went with Randy Blake, who still has a lot to prove because he really did get a win and a not too impressive win over Dewey Cooper, who is, you know, didn't have power in his day. For him to have power as an old man is just different. I just think Randy had to get used to fighting a guy who was quick enough to kind of get with him. But, you know, Randy coming off of the loss to Mikko Krokop, you know, the other day, I still think his strength, he's like a 205-pound guy, so it's closer to 93. So I like him at 205. Pavel Zarevalev, Steve McKinnon. Arnold Oborotov, when I looked at his frame, I think he's a guy who could do 95 kgs. I didn't feel he was very strong, and his low kicks didn't look strong, considering he's kicking a guy who wasn't going to check any of the low kicks. Daniel Yunga, of course, is the guy who I would say is the best at this weight class in the current moment. Thanasis Michalotis, I'm a big fan of his, of course, and I think that if there's a 95 kg tournament, he would be good in it, which is why we have one, and this is why he's in it. Lauren Javier Jorge is a guy who I thought about having, but I'm going to go ahead and remove Lauren Javier Jorge, and you know what? I'll keep him, and I'll remove someone else. Lauren can stay. Nenad Pagans, Philip Verlinden, a very skilled guy. I think this would be a good tournament to really showcase a lot of his skills. Andre Stoica, Nathan Corbett, and then I went ahead with Frank Munoz, despite the fact that Frank Munoz has never won against elite competition. I think he wins wins the fights that he's supposed to win. He's got a few in there that are head scratchers where you're like, Frank Munoz lost that fight? He just hasn't won the step up fights, and that's why it's difficult. I can look at this list and see guys that he's lost to, you know. So he's a difficult name. So I will go ahead and leave him off and go Vitaly Akramenko, and then I didn't see too much of him, but what I saw of Jafar Ahmadi made me think that he can be 205. He's a smaller guy, and it was a lot of fun watching him fight. So I went ahead and went in a different direction. Instead of picking a guy who I knew who could probably fit in this weight class, went ahead and have fun, and I decided to use Jafar Ahmadi, the Iranian fighter who fought on K1 a few days ago. Streammaster, what do you got?
Daniel Alunga, Philip Verlinden, Vladimir Maneev, Nana Pagonis, Murad Buzidi, Nathan Corbett, Steve McKinnon, Zavi Samadov, Stefan Susbergi, Andre Hutnik, Agron Pertini. You know, I threw in Gegard Mousasi for fun because this weight class was really bugging me when it came to the last few guys. Vitaly Akramenko, Pavel Zhuravlev, Tomasz Serrara, and Salvo Calavari.
Cool. Well, we've got a lot of similar names. A lot of similar names here. Salvo Calavari is a guy who I remember I was looking at him and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to put him in the weight class. I decided not to, but he's definitely a good fit. I was mad at myself over Hutnik, and then I'm afraid to say this on air, but as high as I am on Vitaly Akramenko, and as much as I've hyped him on the show, and as much as I've talked about how much I've liked him, I forgot him when I made my list. I just wasn't thinking, and I was focused on Vladimir Meniv, and I went without him. So please forgive me, Vitaly Akramenko, who's probably never going to listen to this podcast and never know about it. You're one of my favorite fighters. I was not supposed to forget you. I like I forgot Houghton. That was a fail on my part because when he fought 77 kgs, I really, really liked him. I remember back when Drago Gago was Drago Gago, just this beast guy who hadn't lost in 4 years. He had a loss in some, like, they actually had, like, shin guards and headgear, but it was like a charity event, and Drago lost to Houghton, and he said that Houghton was the toughest guy that he had fought at the time. Houghton had a good run at 77. When he moved up to 86, he lost to Tyrone Spong, and just people didn't pay attention to him. But he's really put together a nice run at, you know, 93, and I see him as a solid 95-kg fighter. And then I like that you had Stefan Cesparugi. I just like him because he just gave Carnage fits because he's such a weird, weird style, and it's like he gets hit and something still comes from him. Or he'll land a strike and the next strike wouldn't be something like how you'll see a Dutch go cross hook low kick. He'll go like cross, you know, left push kick, high kick, like just something really weird that you're not, you know, expecting. So he's a weird, weird guy to watch. But yeah, those are some of the names that stood out that I saw on your list. Your turn?
Yeah, looking at your list, definitely a Wartok could be there. Mikalutis could be there. Although, I don't know, I'm not as high on Thanasis as you are. Jafar Amadi could be there, even though we didn't get to see much. I didn't put Andre Stoica. I just don't think he's been too impressive at 95. And he's just kind of stuck between it. Not very high on Lorian Javier Jorge, especially after the Krokop fight. I know Krokop's bigger, but Lorian basically just, you know, gave up before the fight happened. And see what else he got. Yeah, you know, and I didn't have Frank Munoz just because, you know, he can't win the big fights. Some different guys that I had, Brad Buzzitti, you know, when he gets down to 95, he's still pretty good. Saulo Calavari, you know, he's only around like 98 or something. He could definitely get down. I think he put on weight for the K1. Tomas Serrara, you know, he's training with Ernesto Host these days, and you know, he got robbed at Tatneft, but he put up a pretty good fight with Vladimir Reneev this year, so I decided to put him. Pavel Zhiravlev, really good at this weight class. When Zhiravlev actually fights boxing, he fights at cruiserweight. He gets down to 200 pounds, which is 90 kgs. So. Mm-hmm. And one guy who I really liked on here was Agram Pratini. If you remember him from the Crow Cup final fight card.
Yes.
And he beat Paco Massi. He looked really good. I think this is his weight class. And I was really impressed with him. And, you know, Stefan Supergi, yeah, the rest is pretty straightforward.
Cool. And I definitely agree on the Murad Buzzitti. You know, I guess he had been campaigning so much at heavyweight. He looked really good when he fought at 95, despite the fact that Sahaf Paparian won. Some people feel that Murad Buzzitti won that fight. Very entertaining. He's doing really, like I said, I've mentioned before, Musid Jim is a really good fit with him. You know, it's just before he was struggling. He was getting stopped by guys, but his frame changed, and this is a really good weight class for him. Some matchups that I made, I went with Zhiravlev versus Steve McKinnon. I think that'd be a lot of fun because McKinnon is, you know, forward versus the boxing of Zhiravlev. I went with Daniel Younga versus Borutov. It's originally I made this fight thinking, you know, Borutov a little bit bigger, comes down, Daniel Younga. But as I look at it, this would probably be a Daniel Younga win all the way because Borutov just doesn't look good with pressure. As you said, you're not as big on Thanasis. I do like him. I like him. I put him against Lauren Javier Jorge, a guy who I kind of used more as a filler, as I mentioned a second ago, as I was about to drop him. And then Nened Pagans versus Philip Verlinden. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Philip Verlinden is very talented. I like him a lot in this weight class. And then I went Sabit Semidov and Randy Blake as a fun fight. But yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, Nathan Corbett versus Abby Samadov, or Nathan Corbett versus, especially Philip Verlinden now. I think that would be a really good fight. Or versus Daniel Walonga. You know, Stefan Susbergi versus like a Pavel Zhiravlev would be really fun, because you know Zhiravlev is more the standard, you know, boxing, and Susbergi is just all over the place. And Vladimir Minaev versus Nathan Corbett would be really fun too, because I'd like to see how well Minaev could maneuver around the ring and counter Corbett, and I'd like to see Minaev versus Ilogo for the same reasons.
Okay, cool. Well, as we pick our final four, this is what I'm going to go with. First of all, I've been sticking with him for a few years now, so I'm going to stick with him some more. Vladimir Minaev would be one of the first guys that I would go with. I'd go Daniel Younga. I'd go Nathan Carnage Corbett. And then my last guy, I think I'd go with Phil Verlinden. If I were to have to pick off fifth, right outside of it, I go with Pavel Zhiravlev. I really like him a lot. Nana's another guy who could be there, but also he has mental lapses during fights at times. But I really feel strong about Corbett. I feel strong about Minaev. I feel strong about Daniel Younga and Philip Verlinden as my top four for this weight class. Definitely some talented guys elsewhere, but those are the guys that I'm leaning towards. If this comes down to a tournament field, I like them being the semifinals. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got the exact same guys as you. I mean, when I look at the field, I just think, you know, Ilunga, Verlinden, Minaev, and Carnage are, you know, just probably above everyone else. You know, some more than others. I think Carnage is the best one here, and Verlinden's really been showing a lot lately. But compared to the rest of the field, I think they're just better. I mean, Murad Buzini could shake things up a bit, but it's kind of hard to tell.
For sure. I would love it if Daniel Younga fought Carnage in the final. I just want to see what it looks like. What does it look like when you hit a guy and he just keeps coming? Like, what would that look like with Carnage? Because Carnage would hit him, you know, but just thought I'd have fun with that. Well, let's go ahead and get into the final weight class. Tyrone Spong, Paul Swinski, Errol Zimmerman, Hezdy Gurgis, Peter Aerts, Rico Verheerven, Simi Schilt, and then I put Igor Djokovic. He is kind of a tweener. I really just kind of put him down just because I just was out of ideas, because originally I put Badr Hari because I was like, well, I'll just put him just because it is fantasy and I could put him there. But since, you know, he's really not going to be around, I shouldn't put him there. Igor Djokovic is not, he'd be my 16. He's just some name that I've been high on, but he's never given me the consistency. But Remy Bojowski, Ishmael Lant, Gokhan Saki, Raul Cadenas, Benjamin Adebuyi, Mirko Krokop, Daniel Gita, and Anderson Broderick Silva. Stream Master.
Yeah, Sammy Schill, Daniel Gita, Tyrone Spong, Gokhan Saki. I did include Badr Hari. You know, it's fantasy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Zimmerman, Rico Hooven, Gurgis, Remy Bojowski, Braddock Silva, Sergey Lushenko, Brice Guidon. You know, someone in my fantasy, I can sign Everton Teixeira.
Yep.
Kathleen Morsanu, Ben Edwards, and I can pull Ruslan Kuraev from wherever he's hiding.
Well, you know, I definitely think your field's awesome. Edward Teixeira, of course, because I haven't seen him around the kickboxing game. That's why I didn't have him on my list. If he was fighting anything, if he had something scheduled, when I heard about this Brazil card, I was like, dude, they totally got to get Edward Teixeira a fight, which they they still can. But he's a very talented guy, and he was getting so good. If you look at the first time he went against Errol Zimmerman and the second time he went against Errol Zimmerman, this is completely different dudes. So it's definitely disappointing that he hasn't been in the kickboxing field as much. Bryce Gideon, of course, had the nasty injury, just showed the toughness that he had when he went against Semi Schilt. That's why I didn't have him. But definitely think that he's worthy. Ruslan Karev, as you mentioned, don't know where he is. Bangin' Ben, that was just even though he won, I still like Paul Swinski better as a representative in my 16. But Bangin' Ben's got all this. He really shows good skill set at periods of time. Still doesn't have the gas tank, but he's got the pop punching power. And what I think he's is it 2-1 or 3-1 in his series with Swinski? I can't remember, but does have the really quick KO win. But, other than that, you know, and you've got Sergey Lysenko, that would definitely be. I definitely would have Sergey Lysenko in, and I would have Igor Djokovic out. So you don't even have to comment on that. Igor was just a product of, once I was looking at the guys who I couldn't use, that name couldn't be in there. And then, of course, you are rocking your free Badr Hari shirt as we speak. So I'll kick it to you.
Yeah, you know, I don't like Krokop. I mean, just because, you know, I don't really like Krokop in doing what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his last two fights kind of been spoon fed to the final eight, and he hasn't looked that great either. And I put Edwards, you know, because he beat Katinas. And I put Morris on because he beat Slavinsky, and I was really disappointed in Paul Slavinsky in that fight. I just think he got too bulky or something, and he had no stamina, and I don't know,
he didn't low kick.
Yeah, well, he did, but they weren't that hard.
He didn't use... Oh, I'm sorry, we're critiquing it like we're at his corner, but I was super surprised that he didn't use his power low kick to the inside leg. And he just focused on scoring to the outside leg. And when it wasn't working, he just kept getting hit because all Marzano do is just keep throwing big. Well, that's another show. Back to the list.
I'll add one thing. He was low kicking off the back foot. And, so that's pretty much why I didn't include Slavinsky. And the rest of Briski Don's coming back in December. So, and he really impressed me against Sammy. And, the rest are pretty straightforward, you know.
Cool. Well, okay, I'll go ahead. I made some matchups. Errol Zimmerman versus Hezzy Gurgis. I thought it'd be fun. Paul Swinski versus Tyrone Spong. Remy Wojcicki versus Ishmael Lant, who I have on my list, who you don't have on your list. And then Gokhan Saki versus Raul Cotness, I thought would be fun. And Gita versus Anderson Broderick Silva. But, you know, I just kind of threw that one on there. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like to see, you know, Tyrone Spong versus Hesti Gurgis. I think that would be interesting. Obviously, Sammy Schill versus Daniel Kitsa versus Badr Hari versus Sammy, you know, you get it. Mm-hmm. The triangle, basically, of them. I'd like to see Remy Bonjasky versus Briski Don. I think that would be a really interesting matchup with Greece's height advantage, and you know how Remy would do coming back after the Braddock fight. Those are a few I like.
Cool. Well, it's time for me to pick my final four, and without Badr Hari being in my field, it changes how things would go a little bit. I go Gita, Saki, Schilt, and Bonjasky. And if I had to pick someone outside of it, I'd go Spong. If Hari was in it, I would definitely have Hari, but as one of those four. But since I don't have him on my list, you know, we are being fantasy, and you know, for billionaires, maybe we could pay for the proper lawyers, or we could pay off this millionaire who who is about to have Hari put away. But I would probably have him in that group as well. But those are the initial names off the top of my head. Bonjasky is going to be a tough out for anybody because of the defense and because of the low kicks and how strong he gets at the end of the rounds. A rematch with Errol Zimmerman would actually be kind of fun. But, you know, Shimmy Schilt's still the guy, and I would love to see this version of Daniel Gita versus him. Daniel Gita, of course, would be the guy who I have winning it all, because I always make the mistake of going against Simi just for fun, you know, just because it's fun to not pick him sometimes. But Simi Shields, of course, would be a guy who you expect to see there at the end as well. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I guess we'll take Badr out. And I'm going to go with Gita, Schilt, Spong, and Saki. And I think Spong is the dark horse after what he showed against Peter Arts. You know, I really think he's stepped his game up and has really grown into the heavyweight now.
I'm 100% with you there. And, of course, that's biased. It's weird for me to pick him because I know him. But Tyrone Spong definitely has the athletic ability to win this all. His focus isn't full-time kickboxing as much, but he's still a full-time beast. And this guy is awesome. By the way, everybody, go to Tyrone Spong's website, and he's got the movie up that shows his training in the Jacko Fight Center. It shows him preparing for PD Arts and so on. But Streetmaster, we're through it. We've just given the world the best kickboxers on the planet and the best tournament field. What's going through your head?
Yeah, I feel like I just finished a marathon.
Yeah, you did. This is, I think, one of the longest podcast shows as we go to the 140-minute mark. So I'm going to go ahead and close us. Want to thank everybody for listening. And again, tweet or Facebook comments that you would have, maybe put in a liver kick wall and so on. And if you guys have any questions, if you want us to spell out some of these names, we'll do so. Thanks a lot, everybody, and have a good night. Peace.